Who is WFODICKS?
Wheelbarrow full of dicks. You don't know those guys?
Well, I wasn't going to say it. I wanted you to say it.
I get super jealous of Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Dude, shout out to a wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I listen to the show every week.
WFO dicks.
All right,
that does sound suggestive.
You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Right on a piece of paper.
Oh no! I've been hit!
If I'm really wasting our time, I want this all like from
nothing. That smells like the clove now.
It's a dangerous assignment.
WFOD starts now.
Look, you don't want me to be called Mr. Fantastic? Okay, I won't be called Mr. Fantastic, okay? You can call me Mr. Assface.
Come on,
no,
don't.
No, I'm changing my name. I'll phone the editor of the, the Times tomorrow, and I'll say, hey, I'm changing it to Mr. Assface. Reprint all the newspapers, okay?
No, we don't want this.
Don't. Come on, Reed.
It'll be Mr. Assface and the Fantastic Three.
If it's that important,
the press will have a field day with that.
Oh, all right, Reed. If it's that important, you're Mr. Fantastic.
Just be him. Who cares?
Okay. Yeah. But so I'm Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Yes, you're
all
Mr.
Right.
Fantastic.
I'm Mr. Fantastic. Good. Good.
What should we do now, Mr. Fantastic?
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
Sup?
And via Skype, the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Spoon!
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Woot. Travis.
Yes, sir.
I was going to pull the Aerosmith song Back in the Saddle again.
Because of what?
Because we weren't live last week. Yeah, and it's been a few weeks since Napier's been here. So I thought, that's what you do, right? You play Back in the Saddle again.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
I downloaded the song illegally, and I put it on
a USB
drive.
I'm not a fan of when you say things like, just say you already own the song.
Well, I mean, I do, but it's all the way downstairs.
Oh, okay.
I have big ones, Travis. Everybody has big ones.
Good. I'm glad that you do. Is that the one with the cow on the cover?
No. It has like a blue hypnotize-y circle-y deal on it.
Oh, fuck. I don't have that.
But it's all the way downstairs, Travis. And if I just downloaded it illegally, I could just get it right here on my computer. I wouldn't have to rip
the CD. That's way easier. I liken that to...
Colin Kaepernick?
No, I was actually going to say I liken that to Netflix, like how I own a movie, but as soon as it's on Netflix, if I want to watch it, I'd much rather just press a couple of buttons than go downstairs to my room that has all of my DVDs in it.
It's kind of like when a movie's on basic cable and there's commercials in it, but you have the DVD, but then you just sit there and watch it for 4 hours anyway, because really all we're just doing is like sitting in our own filth waiting to die.
I did that today. I watched the 3-hour version of Batman versus Superman, which I loved very much. But yeah, by the time I was done, I was like, man, I spent a lot of time just sitting here staring at my television for 3 hours.
I actually did watch the Batman versus Superman movie.
Oh, you did?
That fucking opening was horrendous. Who the fuck picked that opening? It's so goddamn bad.
The opening?
The opening.
The opening is like the...
You mean like when he's driving around in that car that, like, they obviously paid for that car to be in the movie?
The opening is the origin story. It's Bruce Wayne's parents.
Martha.
The Walking Dead people.
And then that her necklace gets wrapped around that gun in a way that no necklace has ever been wrapped around anything before.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this necklace got wrapped around this gun in a very Zack Snyder kind of way.
I loved it so much that Pearl.
You loved Martha dying? You asshole!
I did. I loved the pearls exploding because of the gun cocked back, which is not, like Napier said, no way. But also very cinematic. I enjoyed it very much.
We appreciate the strong turnout in chat. We have people saying that they're skipping Ninja Warrior for us. You're also skipping the Rob Lowe roast to listen to us live. So,
oh, that was tonight.
Yeah, sorry, buddy, you missed it. Hey, I'm sure they'll only replay it about 300 times.
I'm sorry if you hear anything weird from my end. I'm just picking my teeth. I just ate ribs and I didn't have enough time beforehand to floss. So
Travis called at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Hey, buddy!" I was like, "Travis, are you drunk?" He goes, "Yep."
You know, it's super sad too, because of that guest that we have lined up is actually going to show up. I'm very sad that I'm so intoxicated because I had a lot of smart questions.
Oh, really? Because I was kind of counting on you on that one.
Yeah, well, I hope I can still remember what I was
going to
ask.
In a little bit, after the break, we are going to be joined by Marty Langford, the director of the documentary Doomed.
Doomed!
The untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four. In 1994, they made a Fantastic Four movie that never came out. And he made a documentary about it, and we're going to talk to him about it.
Can we do something real quick, Mike? And you'll know what we're going to do is immediately when I say it.
Oh, okay.
Can we do this real quick?
Okay.
Martha!
That's my mom's name, too. No. Hey, remember how I wanted to murder you, but then I found out our moms have the same first name?
No, I think Travis was...
Same.
What?
What?
No, Travis wants to do a bit. I'm going to know. Me and Travis, see, now we finish each other's...
sandwiches.
And so I'm going to know once he says it, and we're going to do a bit.
What's the bit?
Because we're in sync, me and Travis.
Well, what's the bit?
Go ahead, Travis.
No, that's all right. You know what? Napier ruined it. He's back, and we're not in sync anymore because Napier's here. It's throwing off everything.
And we gotta get back into things with Napier. See, now Napier's like on the outside looking in, and we gotta get our chemistry back. Napier, don't you just feel all off?
Napier, well, you say something, and then we'll see if we can play off of that.
Dynamite drop in there, Napes. You did it. You did a great job.
That's a lot of dead air. Wow. People are listening to this.
Yeah, yeah. Look, whoever it was that said that they gave up on us to go watch Ninja Warrior, go watch Ninja Warrior, man.
I don't blame you at all. Listen to the podcast where Mike edits out all of those dead spaces.
Napier,
yes.
I saw today, Ocean's 13 was on IMDb, and I got into some kind of weird IMDb thing where I was trying to figure out who the blonde chick that Matt Damon was seducing was, because her, like, boobs were out a whole bunch, and I was like, I kind of like her old lady boobs.
How the fuck do I love boobs?
And I'd just like to know more about this person. And I IMDb'd Oceans, right?
Yeah.
Because I just figured it would come up, and it did. But you know what else came up?
That.
Next year, what would you do if I told you, on the heels of the Ghostbusters controversy, what would you do if I told you, coming out next year, in production right now, is an Ocean's 11 all-female reboot?
Yeah, I heard about that. Melissa McCarthy's not in it, is she?
Would you like to know how many oceans are in this movie?
Eight
oceans.
There's only eight oceans, Napier.
So
is that like a joke, like the 70% thing?
It has to be, right? There's no possible way that they didn't say we're only casting eight oceans against the men's 11. There's no fucking possible way that was an accident.
Maybe they just couldn't find, you know, 13 or 11 interesting women that could act.
I don't know, but yeah, Ocean's 8 is coming out next year sometime. It has Anne Hathaway.
I don't not like Anne Hathaway.
Sandra Bullock.
I don't not like her either. She's actually kind of fun.
Mindy Kaling and Rihanna.
Okay. Real quick, stop the press. If you were going to cast 11 ladies in a heist movie, who would you cast?
11 ladies?
Real quick. Just
can
right
you
off.
Name 11 actresses, Travis?
I'm casting Diane Lane, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence. I'm casting Anne Hathaway, of course, and Sandy Bullock, just like they did. I'm casting...
He's up to five.
Yep, I got five. I'm casting that gal, Sharni Vinson from You're Next.
He's just
I'm making up people. I'm casting that gal from the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, who is also in the remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Anchor in the chat room is suggesting Paula Poundstone.
No, she's dead.
She's not dead, Travis. Yep. She'd be great in the Ocean's 11 all-female reboot.
Nope. I'm casting Flo from the... I'm casting certainly Jennifer Lawrence. Did I cast her?
You already said her, so you can't use
Jennifer
her twice.
Jennifer Lawrence is stunt double from Hunger Games.
No. We're putting in use people that you know their name.
Aaron Esurance.
I'm not that redheaded
chick from The Office that's like smiling all the time.
Oh yeah, the one from the
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, the Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, you can put her in stuff. She's fine.
I'm casting Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
What
Bam.
About Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Yes, that's 12. That's Ocean's
what
12.
What about what was that gal that I thought was really attractive? And then she made that TV
oh, Leslie
show
Gil-
where she was a detective and she talked to ghosts.
Oh, Amber Love Hewitt. Is that
whatever happened to her? How come she's not in stuff anymore? Did she lose her looks?
I think she decided that
she hit
was
the
just
wall.
Done. Is that Amber? Is it her name Amber Love Hewitt?
No, I just said Tiffany Amber Thiessen. So now you got Amber in your head.
Fuck. What's her real name?
Jennifer. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
you got the Jennifer Love Hewitt. You put her in there. What about Megan Fox? I saw her in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She wore the schoolgirl outfit. She's like 40 now, and she's wearing schoolgirl outfits.
Did you watch that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I liked it very much.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I liked
the face
it very much.
Kinda, Travis,
the face threw me off. And I thought it was very fun.
Travis, can we just make a movie and like somebody just comes out and says, ooh, I was in a comic book one time, and you'll just like it no matter what it is?
You know why I liked the Ninja Turtle sequel? It's because my...
Like, could they just make Bridget Jones's baby, and as long as The Flash makes a cameo, you're in?
I'm not interested in Bridget Jones's fucking baby.
Oh, but Green Arrow's in it, Travis.
I don't care.
And he comes
that.
Out and he says, ooh, I'm Green Arrow. They go to a comic con and Stan Lee makes a cameo.
The worst part of this Ninja Turtle sequel was
Green Arrow. That was fucking terrible?
He was terrible. He was not good.
Because he was an FBI agent, Casey Jones?
Was he?
He's an FBI guy.
I know is that I loved the fact that they went to a Knicks game and they were eating pizza and they were super happy and then they accidentally dropped a piece of pizza on the court of Madison Square Garden.
That did it for you, did it?
I loved it.
You loved it?
Loved it. Yep.
They're like, that's quintessential Turtles right there, dropping slices of pizza.
Oh, that's so Raven.
Because the Ninja Turtles, Napier, they love pizza.
That was a thing that they did, right?
Right. And it was a big sloppy piece of pizza. And then a Nick, he slipped on it. And you know what they said? He said, hey, man, I slipped on a piece of pizza. And you know what his teammate said to him?
Come from?
He said, welcome to New York.
And do you remember when Will Arnett was courtside and he was doing his interview and then they like shot spitballs at him?
Travis, they're still naming women in the chat that could be in our Ocean's 11 all-female rebate.
Are they?
We got Helen Hunt and Phoebe Cates.
I'm in for Phoebe Cates.
You're gonna say no to Helen Hunt, Travis?
Nobody
you never
no.
say no to Helen Hunt.
Sorry about that. Helen Hunt should only be taking care of that John Hawks guy as a weird bubble boy, but as a 50-year-old bubble boy.
Travis, this is all great. This is good and all, but it's not what I came here to talk about tonight.
Yeah, you had stuff.
I made my my big return to the live show for one specific reason. I want to talk about this YouTube thing going around.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about fantasy football.
Oh. No! This YouTube thing going around, Travis, all these people are losing their goddamn minds because of this YouTube terms of service thing change. Apparently, now, People's civil rights have been violated. You know, the right to post YouTube videos.
Oh, you mean the civil right that says that some random company, i.e. Google, has the responsibility to put up your shitty cat videos?
No, here's the thing. They said that they don't want you to be able to monetize your content, and they have the right to refuse to allow you to monetize your videos if they contain, I think it was like bad language, and if they talk about politics, and if they show people getting hurt.
Or talk about people getting hurt.
The funny thing about that is Google will still monetize those videos. They just won't give you any of that money.
Yeah, they're still making money off of it. Right. They're not.
Because you're using their thing.
Yep. And they're saying, hey, guys, we're not telling you not to do these things, but also we're not going to give you any of the money that we make from your video if it has these things involved. Which all of the videos have shit, piss, fuck, or somebody getting hurt, or the other laundry list of shit they say you can't do.
Didn't you say that there was a guy who like was a prominent YouTube celebrity that got on Twitter and said that because of this rule change, he was going to join ISIS?
No, that's not what happened.
It is exactly what happened.
No, what happened was a
PewDiePie said that I might as well join ISIS to fucking rebel against
Napier,
these...
what's a PewDiePie? You seem to be familiar with this story.
PewDiePie is a YouTuber. He does video game stuff. And
oh,
shit.
He does the
Let's
the
Plays.
Twitch.
PewDiePie does a Let's World Plays of Tanks and... video that Napier just fucking loves.
You like PewDiePie?
No, I know of him.
And he's gonna join ISIS.
Well, a troll account that was supposed to be it has the name of a legitimate news company, but it's like it has an extra I or some bullshit in it, and they put out a fake.
Oh, it's the New York Times.
It was like Sky News or some bullshit.
Is it?
And it was spelled all fucked up. It was a troll account to do like little troll news or like the Onion kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And they photoshopped PewDiePie's face like on an ISIS flag, and it said, PewDiePie joined ISIS, and then there's a link to a news story, and the news story has nothing to do with PewDiePie joining ISIS or ISIS at all. And everybody thought that it was the real news company putting this out.
But here's the thing. If you have the following that would generate you like a good living off of making YouTube videos, what's stopping you from just securing your own advertisers?
Like, oh, they do.
Like radio shows or you know, you remember that time that we got an advertiser, Napier, and then you ruined it?
My wife loved it.
I tried so hard to make that work. But yeah, the big guys, they have their own advertisers.
Real hard.
Yeah, you just get your own advertisers. You say, hey, this video of this guy getting hurt is sponsored by such and such. And I think I have a pretty good idea why YouTube is doing that. I mean, like, if Tide wants to get into the 30-second video before you watch the video on YouTube business, like, they have a brand to protect, and they don't necessarily want to, like, be shown right before, like, you know, like a KKK cross-burning or something. And they're like, okay, YouTube, can you cycle out what shit you put us before? And they're like, not really, no, we just kind of put you in a big pile. But if they put this restriction on it where McDonald's can advertise on YouTube safely without being associated with whatever bullshit goes on. McDonald's is very protective. I remember Howard Stern back in the day used to talk all the time about whenever he would get syndicated in a new market, if McDonald's advertised with that radio station, they would immediately cancel. Because they didn't want to be associated with Howard Stern.
Well, that's fair on
it's
them.
Fair.
It's
fair. I mean,
their money.
And bullshit if Google can't put some kind of algorithms in there that say, hey, this brand doesn't want to be associated with this video game guy that says fuck 40 times in 3 minutes.
The same time, if they're doing an algorithm, they might as well weed out other things too. I mean, if they're going through the trouble, why not?
Well, Kevin Smith, I just watched on Friday. Kevin Smith just did a video on with his Hollywood Babylon guy, Ralph Garman, where they read a bunch of Yoga Hosers reviews, and they said fuck 400 times, I swear to Christ. And they still had advertisers in front of that video. So is it just them saying, hey man, we're still going to advertise in front of your video, we're just not going to give you any of the money that we get from those advertisers?
Pretty much. There are still ads there. I mean, when you click on these non-monetized videos, the creator of the video doesn't get any money, but
Google's
still an ad.
Fucking money in still. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, McDonald's did the same thing when all that stuff was going on about.
I'd hit that.
You know, I'm talking about McDonald's a lot, aren't I? When all that stuff was going around about how all of them wanted a $15 minimum wage, McDonald's prices started creeping up a little bit. I don't know if you even noticed it, but
you remember when
the dollar menu became the $1.69 menu pretty goddamn quick.
It's a value menu now.
And they're like, guys, I mean, eventually we're going to have to pay these guys $15. We need to recoup some of that cost. They ain't paying nobody $15, but the price still went up, didn't it?
Yep. I mean, why wouldn't it?
So you got to keep an eye on the ball, Travis, is what I'm saying.
Oh, one eye?
See, that's why you go to Wendy's for 4 for 4s.
Right.
And oh, God, they get so angry at the fucking 4 for 4s.
What's included in the 4 for 4, by the way?
A tiny ass little hamburger.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that before. Like, the Wendy's people get mad when you order the 4 for 4. That's happened to me before. They're like, let me guess, a 4 for 4. Like, they're mad about it. They're tired of making them.
You know what you tell them?
They've just become the place that makes those 4 for 4s.
Mm-hmm. Like, what? Your day wasn't varied enough in your $8 an hour?
Damn it! I'm tired of making this same sandwich! Travis, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, I don't know. I had too many ribs, I think.
Are you going to go into a food coma?
Yeah, I'm having a real problem over here.
Oh, man. Well, Napier's been gone a couple of weeks.
Yeah, what's Napier have? What's
he's
I'm
got? Hoping
what's
he that he has,
on?
Like, stories from his life. Napier, well, do you have stories from your life?
Well, I was getting some kind of sinus thing. I've been snotting and leaking everywhere, so I decided, you know what? You know what's a really good idea?
From your nasal passages?
Yeah, from my sinuses. I thought, you know how neti pots work? You know, you put the water in there, you drain it, and then it kind of like flushes out your sinuses.
I would never do that.
But I don't have a neti pot. I do have a shower.
Napier.
Yes?
Boy, do I got a treat for you.
What is it?
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
You know what I got the other day?
What'd you get?
I didn't get a neti pot. I got one better.
A Yeti pot.
That's right, Napier. It's the dollar store off-brand
Yeti pot. You see how the Yetis have big giant noses?
Is that showing you how you have to have a nose this fucking big to be able to use it?
No, but I mean, you know, it's brand awareness.
Yeah, it's the Yeti pot.
You squirt this up your nose, Napier. You can have that.
Oh, thank you, sir.
That is my gift to you.
Is
that
it used?
Is a Yeti pot.
That's friendship.
But is it guys, used?
It's not friendship. Used. No, no. See, here's the thing about it, though. To use the Yeti pot, the neti pot, you need, like, two things, right?
Yeah.
You need the pot.
Yeah.
But then you need, like, the shit to go in the pot that you squirt up your nose, right?
This salt?
Is just the pot.
But there's probably salt in there or something,
nope.
Right?
Just the pot.
Okay.
I don't know what you're supposed to squirt up your nose. I guess maybe you can Google it and like make your own.
Well,
but you got the pot now, buddy.
I did the poor man's version of it. And
why are you not thanking Mike Moore for this fucking?
Did he even thank me, Travis, for this? Very
I think he was like, "Oh,
gift?
That's cool."
I thought you were joking.
No, buddy. I'm giving you this Yeti pot.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That sucks, Napier.
On the break, Travis, I'm going to squirt stuff up Napier's nose.
Well, ever since I did, like...
in Napier's nose?
ever since I did that, I, like, snuffed a shit ton of water from my shower into my nose to try and clean it out. And ever since then, my ear has been whistling. It's kind of weird.
I would never do the neti pot thing. That it's I've had, like, this sinus thing going on for, like, 2.5 weeks. And people say, oh, you should have did that neti pot thing last week. And I said,
"Yeah, no, Laura swears by the neti pot, but I'm not interested. I don't have anything to do with neti pots. I don't want to do it. It seems unpleasant to me. It doesn't seem like something that I could get into."
No, I'm not interested. If you say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I say, "Oh, I'm feeling pretty terrible." You say, "Well, why don't you use a neti pot?" I say, "Nope, I have vodka."
Well, putting vodka in your nose probably hurts a lot.
I don't put it in my nose, Napier. You know better.
Idiot. Travis, you know, coming up here after the break, we're going to talk to that Marty Langford fella. He's the director of Doomed, the untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four.
Loved it.
It's available on video on demand October 11th. I offered Napier the chance to watch it.
Till October 11th?
No, yeah, it didn't come out for a while.
Holy shit, I feel
we're giving people the
special.
Inside scoop ahead of time, Travis.
Very special. It was a very good documentary.
Yeah, we enjoyed it quite a bit. But you guys, you can't see it yet because you're not, you know, cool guys with podcasts.
We're cool guy and all you fuckers.
You guys who don't podcast every
Monday
night.
So there's like three of you.
You have to wait till October 11th.
That's a day before my birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
So for my birthday, if all of our listeners could just go ahead and purchase a download of Doomed, the Untold Story.
No, have them buy you neat stuff. Don't give Marty all the Travis birthday goodwill.
What are you, an idiot?
How else do you celebrate Travis's birthday without, you know, comic book movies? Documentaries on comic book movies.
That's a good point.
I don't know. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us. Hey, hell of a chat today. Hi, everybody.
Thanks for being here on a Labor Day.
There's two Travis's root beers. I don't really understand that, but
it's picking up steam.
Yeah. The Travis root beer movement is picking up steam. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Stay tuned for my Kickstarter, Travis's root beer.
I want someone to be sad, and I want to know that I'm responsible!
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Fuck off, this is Strangelabel.com.
Fuck off, this is Strangelabel.com, who?
And now, another WFOD phone scam with the king of pranks, Travis Holtz.
Arizona Home Courtney speaking.
Hey, listen, buddy. Do you have any of those $2 for $5 deals going on right now?
No, we do not.
You have nothing you got any $2 for $4 deals going on right now?
We don't have any deals right now, no. Okay, we have one deal. It's $2 to $5 every day. Our sliders are $1, and small things are $1. So, like, small fries, small shakes, small curly fries, things like that.
Oh, so, like, your value meal is, like, $1 then for the happy hour.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, that sounds real good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. Zing! They don't call me the king of pranks for nothing.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen Stefani, and you are listening to
WFOD.
Your sticky hands are out of place, crawling all over another face. So hard to make a way, all but forgetting where you're gonna stay. But she don't mind when you're passing by. Tight knit eye for another eye. Hear the old. mind is out of place. Your furry clothes have gone the other way. And then you take it and pull it out, thinking of lovers' bullets rain down.
Hello and welcome back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Napier, I hope you enjoy. What did you say about your farts? What's going on?
I got the pork farts from the ribs.
You had ribs today? Am I the only one? I had leftover Chinese food today.
Why can't you celebrate the season more appropriately with barbecue?
I don't know. Is that like a rite of passage? You're supposed to barbecue on the...
On Labor Day?
On the Labor Day?
Yeah.
What do the two have to do with each other?
It's a day off of work in the summer.
And so you barbecue.
So you barbecue.
Right. Because it's your damn right...
It's your duty.
It's your duty?
It's your duty to go out and get you like some chicken breast or... Hell, even whole chickens, some ribs, pork steak if you're from St. Louis. I mean, you got to have pork steak in your barbecue.
Huh.
What do you normally do for Labor Day?
I don't do anything usually. I mean, it's not really like a thing I observe.
What about Memorial Day?
Because it's a long weekend and it's kind of the bookend of the summer. And living in the Midwest like we do, soon it's going to be freezing cold and awful and garbagey with all that snow shit that I can't stand. And you got to do it. I mean, you might have a couple more weekends where you can get a lot of nice barbecuing happening, but, you know, not many.
Travis, have you ever actually had a pork steak?
I eat pork steaks all the time. And they're delicious.
Yeah, some people don't know what they are. You can't get them in too many places outside of, you know, St. Louis.
Well, you can definitely get them if your in-laws buy a pig every year, and they don't eat very much food because they don't very much like each other, but they have a tradition of buying entire animals and then not making dinner. So you get a lot of that leftover stuff.
Is it like for the freezer, like they cook it all up that day?
Nah, you get a little of everything. You know what I mean? You get a nice sack of meat, a sack of pork meat, sack of cow meat. Fill up a freezer.
Yeah, my mom and aunt, they went halvesies on like half a cow because their neighbor was buying a whole half a cow, and then they put in for like their half of a cow.
Guys, I think we have Marty on. Marty, are you there? Hello? Marty?
I'm excited to welcome Marty Langford to the podcast.
I kind of heard him, but I guess maybe I didn't hear him.
It's Skype. It's horrible.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So, I mean, Travis, do you want to just ask me the questions that you were going to ask Marty Langford?
No, you can ask him when he comes back.
I'll just be Marty Langford, guys. Ask me about my documentary. I'm tired of all this.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What? Why? Why'd you do this?
Why'd I make the movie?
No, I mean, you know, why do you do anything?
Why did I make the movie Doomed, the Untold Story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four, out on video on demand October 11th?
I mean, specifically, yes, but really, why
Well, you see, Travis, I mean, I always heard about the movie. And like, you know, I knew it was out there in the world, and I thought that maybe it'd have an interesting story, so I looked into it a bit. And by God, it was a tale.
Two cities?
It was a tale to be told.
To who?
The world. You see, this Roger Corman. He's well known, Travis. Roger Corman.
Oh, I know him very well.
But primarily, he's known for kind of making schlock movies and like releasing them on home video. And...
Any more home video really doesn't make a difference. I mean, right?
Well, I mean, nowadays, but back then, you know, you kind of looked at movies that just didn't have a theatrical release as being kind of, you know, silly. It's silly. So this Roger Corman guy, he gets a call and they said, hey, man, you know, we got to get a Fantastic Four movie into production fairly quickly or else we're going to lose the rights to it.
No way.
Yeah.
Back in the early 90s,
they had purchased the rights to the Fantastic Four from Marvel. And Marvel was itching to get it back. And so this company had to get a Fantastic, I think it was Fox? It was Fox.
I don't know. You made the movie.
That's a good point, Travis. I should know these things. I made the movie. Fox, they called up the Roger Corman. They're like, man, we'll give you $1 million. You got to get this fucking movie made quick. You know, make a schlocky Roger Corman movie. Do your Roger Corman thing. So he hired a cast. He hired a director. He got the thing going. And they thought they were making like an actual movie, right?
It looked like a movie.
It was a movie. Marty?
Hello there.
Hey, Marty.
Oh, fantastic.
We were telling the story without you, Marty.
The story of Doomed.
Doomed. The untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four out on video on demand October 11th. And Marty's gone. So Travis.
So
I was telling you about Doomed.
These rights secured.
So this movie I made, right? Doomed.
You said to the cast, hey, we're making you're all familiar with the Fantastic Four, right? And you said to them,
fuck yeah, I'm familiar with the Fantastic Four. They're comics first family.
Everybody was very excited. But the only problem was, we don't have very much money to make this motion picture. Is that correct?
That's correct. The movie was made on a very low budget. The Roger Corman Fantastic Four, which is the subject of Doomed, the untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four, out on video on demand October 11th. Marty!
So, yes, sir.
Hey! We started telling the story without you, man.
I apologize.
How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you. It's going very well. I was having a...
You were having a...
Oh, God, no.
So anyway, Travis, they go into production on this movie, right?
Yeah, because everybody knows Fantastic Four. And they said, hey, we only have so much money to make this motion picture. But we're going to do this to the best of our abilities.
We're going to try our darndest, right? Because by God, we were hired to do a job. And we're going to do it.
You got the guy from Uncle Buck, right? They got the gal from... what was she from?
I don't know. Some Shit. Blonde gal that kind of looked like Susan Storm.
Fuck.
They hired her and she looked the part and she did fine, Travis. She did fine. Everybody in the movie, I'd say for the most part, did fine.
I really like Doom.
Dr. Doom. See, the Doom thing about Dr. Doom is Dr. Doom was great.
Doom looked amazing. He looked amazing.
Right.
That, if you were telling me that you were going to make a Fantastic Four movie, you're like, hey, we got Dr. Doom lined up. And they're like, hey, this is what the guy's going to look like. I was so happy.
In the chat room, Scrambler said, he so rarely gets worked up. Luckily, you're here to witness this.
All right, I think I'm back.
Marty!
I apologize for this. Yes,
buddy, sir. How's it going?
It's going great. See how far we can get with this.
Marty, thank me and you. Travis, we watched your movie. We enjoyed it a great deal.
We've already been talking about it, but we want your input.
We've already kind of laid the groundwork, Marty.
Okay.
Travis has a barrage of questions for you, though, I'm sure.
Oh, sure, yeah. Swing away. I couldn't remember if you guys if we sent you an online screener, so I'm glad you saw it.
Oh, we did. And actually, you telling us in the movie that there's bootlegs available actually gave me the opportunity to go back and watch the movie too, which I...
Oh, so you saw the Corman original recently then?
It's on YouTube. You can watch
it
anytime you want. Yeah, and I didn't know. I knew about the 1994 Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie, but I had never seen it. I didn't even know I could see it. And so I was excited to see your documentary, and then I was excited to watch the movie also. So
I have yet to see the motion picture itself, but the documentary made me very happy. Only because I remember 12-year-old Travis in 1992 getting Heroes Illustrated and seeing pictures from the set of that movie of The Thing and also of Dr. Doom and being super excited that I was going to see a Fantastic Four movie. I mean, you're talking, what, 2 years after the Batman, like the big Michael Keaton Batman movie, and seeing Dr. Doom and The Thing on screen made me very happy, just in production stills. And then it disappeared. There was nothing after that. So seeing this documentary of what actually happened to this movie made me very, very happy. I'm almost leery to watch the actual motion picture itself.
Yeah, you see, I'm not going to say it's a problem, but I am going to say that you don't set your sights too high, man. I mean, the movie was made for less than $1 million, and it's an effects-heavy attempt, you know?
But I think if you go in there with that expectation, you'll be pleasantly surprised that, actually, I'd say of the four Fantastic Four movies, it's probably the best one.
Yeah, you know, the general consensus is that they got, you know, the most right, you know? Dr. Doom has been a tough character in the Fox movies to the point where he's almost it's not the character, it's a name only. But Joseph Culp and Ole Sassone, the director of Corman's movie, they nailed him, you know? It was right out of the pages of Stan Lee, Jack Kirby's issues.
If I could say anything, I'd say it was dated. It's kind of like if today you went back and said you don't like Limp Bizkit. Like, everybody at one time liked Limp Bizkit. It's real cool guy to go back and say you didn't like him now.
I still like Limp Bizkit.
But if you watch it, it looks like it was made in 1994. And
it does, yeah. It is a product of the 90s, absolutely.
Well, when is the last time a motion picture that was based off of a comic book property has been made for less than $1 million? That's an insane amount of money to try to take a comic book property and make an actual like hour and a half to 2 hour movie.
Yeah, it's funny. You know what? That's a question that I actually have an answer to that nobody's ever asked before. And it was a number of years ago, Man-Thing was made into
I love that movie.
Direct-to-video.
Yes, Sci-Fi Channel.
Directed it. Exactly,
yeah, yeah.
Right. And that was probably about $1 million. So, and that was a trip.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good for what it was. Like, for Man-Thing, and that was another one that I heard that, hey, we're making a Man-Thing movie. And then you didn't hear anything for a couple of years, and it's like, oh no, you can get it on DVD now because everybody kind of just wrote it off. And it was kind of the same thing with the Fantastic Four.
So the movie, it's alluded to, but you don't really have like a silver bullet, but it's alluded to that the movie was never intended to come out. It was made to kind of keep the rights, and the cast and crew was not aware of that. But
I wish they would have done the same thing with Spider-Man 3, where they said, we need to make another movie, but we don't have to release it, we just have to make it.
You mean the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
No, Spider-Man 3, the one with Venom and Sandman and whatever the fuck James Franco was supposed to be.
Yeah, Sam Raimi's made a lot of apologies for that one.
They had emo Spider-Man. He had all the feelings and emotions.
That scene where he dances down the street and he's like pointing at the ladies who are looking at him with disgust is one of the worst things I've ever seen committed to film.
Yeah, that's a ready-made meme, man. That was bad.
So you interviewed Roger Corman for the movie, but it didn't seem like he had like a whole lot of insight. Was he like talking to a wall or...?
It was difficult, you know. We only had him for 20 minutes. We only were allowed. We were only told we were going to interview him about 3 days before the interview. I mean, we were prepared, but he was very. I mean, he was prepared. I asked kind of the initial question. He spoke for maybe 10 or 12 minutes with this really kind of preset ramble, and I was so disappointed at one point because after I'd done our interview, I did a search on Roger Corman, you know, online to see if he'd ever talked about it before. And I found this clip where he says almost the exact same thing he told me.
Oh, so he just read the thing he said last time?
Kind of, you know. And I mean, he held everything very close, you know, to the vest. He was careful not to say anything that, you know, would possibly kind of come back at him.
Do you think that he was paid hush money, Marty?
No, well, I mean, it depends on how you define hush money. I mean, he was certainly, as in the doc, you see, I mean, he was paid off. And he's the businessman, you know?
Yeah.
You can't really blame him for taking a deal where his company was able to make a profit of, you know, of $1 million after he had been paid three quarters of them. you know, for the budget to make the movie, God knows how much he actually spent of that. So, you know, I mean, he's Roger Corman. You know, there's a reason why he was one of the most successful movie producers there's ever been.
Well, yeah, his entire career has kind of been predicated on the fact that he can make a movie for $3 and a sandwich.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. And he pulled that off. There's such a great piece in the documentary where a number of the actors' crew talk about his the Venice stage, you know, the Corman Studios. And
I think that was my favorite part, actually.
Oh,
they said it was like a giant warehouse. warehouse with a bunch of, like, wallpaper put up to, like, replicate it, like, science laboratory.
I had the Hollywood music playing in my da-da-da-da Hollywood.
Yeah, and they would just repaint the set, and they'd make Carnosaur, and they'd repaint the set, and they'd make Cage T-3000, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's amazing to me, though, and did you have any kind of a feeling before you actually talked to the actors how excited they were and how much they, like, kind of were banking on this movie to, like, do really big things? I mean, because they all said that, hey, we're doing this giant property for a shoestring budget, and we know it's Roger Corman, but we really think that this can do big things for our careers, and that we can... Did you have any idea before talking to them that they actually felt this way, that they thought, hey, man, this could have been really big for everybody?
Yeah, you know, kind of I did. Mark Sykes, the executive producer of Doomed, was on the set and on the location. He was a buddy of mine who I grew up with, and that was kind of my in with this story. You know, he was Roger Corman's receptionist, and he was the casting assistant on the film. And he's the one who had gotten, you know, all the actors lined up for us. And, you know, he let me know their feelings of the movie. And there was a lot of, you know, hurt ones. There was a lot of hurt feelings. These guys really got the raw end there.
Marty, do you think that this movie is kind of more infamous now for having not come out than if it had just come out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is look at, you know, like the Dolph Lundgren Punisher or the Matt Salinger Captain America, and it would have just been sitting alongside those.
It would have just faded away, right?
I'm telling you what, Marty, I would like to see documentaries on both of those motion pictures that you just mentioned, because I loved those as a
kid. Right, wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, the state comic book movies at that point was, they just didn't get it, you know? I mean, Batman was a huge film in the late 80s, and they were only just understanding the value of these properties.
Well, and like I mentioned before, like when I saw the stills from the Fantastic Four movie, and that's what sets, like, your documentary apart from, say, the Superman Lives documentary, is like that movie, nobody ever even realized that was happening. Your documentary is based on a movie that everybody knew was happening. Like, everybody knew that, yeah, production stills, like, hey, this is a Fantastic Four movie, it's being filmed right now, we have all of these stills, it's going to come to you anytime now, and then it just disappeared. But it was an age before the internet where you had no idea what the hell happened to all of this footage. It was like, we're making a Fantastic Four movie, and then it was radio silence. You just had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, we had that, you know, the film threat cover story was kind of like my entree into it outside of my relationship with Mark, because that was enormous. That was, you know, there was 20 pages inside that magazine, and it was just such terrific coverage. Chris Gore was the guy we talked to in the documentary who ran Film Threat. He was there for every day, and he just killed himself putting out this issue. And and when it went away, you know, he was just as distraught.
Well, and I had no idea that this was, you know, it was Chris Gore, like, who I know from Attack of the Show, but I didn't realize that he was probably the one responsible for me seeing the pictures of Dr. Doom, the pictures of the Thing, the pictures of the family together that I saw in, like, Wizard and Heroes Illustrated. I had no idea that he was the only one that was bringing us the media coverage from this thing. And do you know how he got involved? Like, did he ask to be on the set, or did they say, hey, come and cover what we're doing?
No, that was all him. I mean, he had heard about it through the trades. Hollywood Reporter had a cover story of it. We show it in the movie, and it's just this bland blue and red cover for the Hollywood Reporter, and it said the Fantastic Four on it, a Constantine's film production or something. Chris Gore saw that, and he just called. He just cold called Corman Studio and said, hey, can I come along? The only other kind of presence at that time, because you're right, it was pre-internet, Rob Altstetler was a guy who ran Comic Buyer's Guide. Do you guys remember that? That newspaper?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they had some coverage on it too, but I mean, Chris was, you know, he brought a camera, And I mean, he just shot the hell about it. We were in his place, and he just had, you know, all the images you see were all generated by him on the set. And he just has stills and just pages and pages of this stuff. He's the one that got us the storyboards we use that we have filmed. He got me like 4 different drafts of the script that were written.
Yeah, I see that he right now is trying to like kickstart a resurgence for Film Threat with a bunch of signed copies of that particular issue, which is amazing. And it's got to be, for him anyway, like as a fanboy, which I would consider myself, like to be able to be a part of that and to be able to get access to that film had to have been amazing for him. And then I know in the documentary he said a handful of days in he realized that oh no this might not be exactly what we were looking for.
It's great, yeah, when he sees the costumes and you literally see the stitching, you know, on the costumes. You literally see the costume designer who had no money, sitting at a sewing machine making these things, and it became clear to him, and there was that kind of sinking feeling that I think he felt that this might not be the most, you know, realized film possible.
Well, I mean, what the explanation that you gave in the documentary, and I guess this is a bit of a spoiler, but
I thought it was an amazing explanation.
He said, well, she made him.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And
how did Tobey Maguire make that awesome Spider-Man costume all by himself? Marty, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Rebecca tells a story where Ole, the director, tells her, she's like, you know, own it. You know, you made these. And she tells the story with such kind of warmth. And that was the thing. Everybody had such an amazing time making the movie. You know, they became friends. They became tight. I mean, it was only a 3-week shooting schedule. But they became, you know, that little family and took responsibility for the characters and for how they were portrayed.
Well, Marty, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry we had the technical difficulties or whatever was going on. But
that was on me. I apologize. I was driving, so that was obviously me.
No.
Hey,
no big
don't
deal.
Talk. Don't talk while you're driving. If I could say one thing in this episode of the podcast, is like, make sure, kids, no texting and driving, no talking and driving. Always pull over to the side of the road.
But guys, I mean, don't follow Marty's, you know, poor example on driving while talking on the phone, but do see his movie, Doomed, The Untold Story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four.
And I will 100% endorse this motion picture, and if you listen to the show, you know how much of a fan I am of every comic book property and all of the things. I loved Batman and Superman, so...
Travis, you make sure you put a reminder in your phone to make sure to let listeners know when the date drops to remind them to go out and get it on video.
It's an amazing documentary, and if you are about my same age, about 35, and you realized, you know, at 12 years old that the Fantastic Four movie was happening and it disappeared from you right before your eyes, watch this documentary, because it is amazing. It is amazing to see what happens in the Hollywood spotlight and with franchise rights, and it'll make you dislike the behind the scenes thing a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Marty. Take it easy.
Thanks, Marty.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Travis, I think I just like movies that are made about making movies. What was that one about Dr. Moreau? I love that movie.
Lost Island was an amazing motion picture.
Dr. Moreau movie was amazing.
The Nick Cage Superman movie was great. I loved it very much.
I didn't
much
make it through that one.
You got to see Tim Burton being coked out of his fucking mind.
I got to the part where they showed Nicolas Cage in the Superman suit, blew my load, and I was done.
Gotta watch the rest of it, because if you didn't see Tim Burton completely fucked up talking to John Shep about that motion picture and being like, they just wanted us to do stuff, and he's like just flailing his arms all around, and he's like just super excited, but he's not excited, he's kind of angry. It's a sight to behold. But yes, you like movies about making movies, and I think everybody will like this Fantastic Four documentary.
Travis, there's root beer in the chat, is saying that he got a 4-day weekend because of Harambe, the gorilla.
No, it looks like to me that in the chat he said he got a 4-day weekend because of Hermione.
The gorilla. The gorilla that died.
Yeah, but the gorilla that died is not Hermione. It's Harambe.
Travis.
I think he's talking about a story.
I thought, you know, I thought I kind of felt like Marty kind of, stepped on my sail a bit. I think I was explaining the movie pretty good. before he came.
Oh, and then he actually was able to connect to us and
And then like we talked to the actual guy, and it was less fulfilling. I feel. I kind of just feel like we should book guests that we don't really book, and then I'll just pretend to be them.
I think you just like talking.
Like, you wanna talk to Liev Schreiber about the new season of Ray Donovan, Travis?
Hey, Liev, what would you say that we can expect from season 4 of Ray Donovan?
I like working with Angelina Jolie's dad. He's a hoot on set. He plays pranks on us and stuff.
Thanks for being here, Liev Schreiber of Showtime's Ray Donovan.
It was pretty good, right? We just had Liev Schreiber on the show.
Mike, I think you just like talking and...
It's probably true.
Narcissist.
I'm not gonna deny.
We can get Arnold Schwarzenegger on, too.
Go ahead. Napier, hey, you have any questions for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Thanks for being here, Arnold Schwarzenegger. What are you here to promote?
Ooh, I'm gonna be the new apprentice guy.
God damn it, Mike. You could have at least made an attempt.
I don't do impressions, Travis.
I saw those ads where you had a tank.
Not gonna do impressions.
Tell you that I'm going to be.
The apprentice. Ooh, I'm the apprentice. Ooh, you're fired. Ho
ho. Not a tumor.
Guys, I mean, it is Labor Day. It is a celebration. Do you want to go ahead and do a little a Napier ditty for the holiday?
What kind of ditty?
Travis, I know you're a busy guy.
Should have my boots been under.
Travis, do you want to do a Napier ditty for the holiday?
Oh, fucking of course I do.
1, 2, 3. Now Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle from barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup, it's cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they're decompostable. And unlike my home, they're not foreclosable. Freddie Mac can kiss my ass, whoa. Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party! Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Because when beer runs down in front of my pack, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring at how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie, but then I get to hitting on them to get me lucky.
Red Solo Cup.
Fill you up.
Let's have a party.
I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Now, I've seen you in blue, and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fellow. Because you have it to my Costello. And you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing. You're more than fantastic. I believe me that I'm not the best sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No, God, no.
You're my friend.
Friend?
Yeah.
Lifelong.
Travis, you
for
sing
being
back
my
up?
Friend.
Red Solo Cup.
I fill you up.
Whatever you're saying is the right thing.
I lift you up. Proceed to party.
Have a party.
Red Solo Cup.
Don't ever think that Napier is wrong. Cause he's right, and Napier sings the best songs. Oh, Napier, you're right.
You nailed that, Travis. You brought a single tear to my eye. So, Travis, our pal at the Passersby podcast.
A really good friend of ours, I think. I don't know his name. What's his name?
His name's Matt.
Yeah, of course it is.
Matt from the Passersby podcast. He's doing a thing.
Are you sure it's not Mert?
No, it's Matt. Right. Matt from the Passersby podcast.
Matt from Passersby. I like
good
passers-
friend
like-
of the show, Travis. Matt from the Passersby podcast. Matt's He's doing a thing.
Yep.
He's raising money for some charity with like sick kids or something. I mean, it's sick kids, right? I don't know the details of it, but just assume sick kids are involved, so you should probably just donate to it, right?
It seriously doesn't matter. If it has sick kids involved, you should do something. At least, if you can't donate, share his tweet or Facebook post.
Share the tweet, right? Okay, so the Matt from the Passersby podcast, he's doing a thing. He's and of course, I mean, he's doing like an event where he's raising money for a thing. And if you donate money to the thing, he's going to eat like really, really hot, hot wings. And that's like what you get. If you get him to his goal that he's going to give to a charity with like sick kids or hungry kids, there's kids involved in the charity, Napier.
Yeah, but I mean, he's saying he's going to eat really hot, hot wings.
He's going to eat really hot, hot wings.
That sounds like a reward for him.
Yeah, he's going to buy the hot wings.
And then eat them.
That's not coming out of the money that you're donating.
That's his money.
That's just what he's going to do to reward you for giving money to the sick kids.
It sounds like he's rewarding himself. I really like hot, hot wings.
No, these are like really hot wings.
I like those too.
Mega hot wings. Like he had like a whole chart of like, you know, the more money they raise, like the hotter the hot wings. So what is Travis doing? Travis, are you having a stroke? Travis? Did Travis die? Do we need to call a 911 on for Travis?
Maybe he's got the pork farts.
Travis?
No, I'm here.
Are you okay?
Carry on.
You're making a lot of weird noises, or I'm concerned.
Don't worry about it.
Travis, do I need to call your mom?
No, you should keep talking about the...
the hot wing thing?
Yeah.
Are you barfing?
Nope.
Travis, are you barfing?
Not at all.
I think he's funning us. You know, if he keeps making those noises, yeah, he's actually going to barf if he keeps making those noises.
Travis is barfing on the show. So, guys, doomed the untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four is on video on demand October 11th.
Travis is having double ribs. He gets to taste them twice. Nobody vomits like that.
Yeah, I need to hear a trash can filling up or I'm calling bullshit.
There we go.
That's a
no, guys, it's good. Just keep going.
So
don't worry about it.
So Matt, he's going to eat some hot wings, Travis.
What if he has to like do like a walk of shame to like a Buffalo Wild Wings and get
he's
like
gonna have some
spicy
hot wings
garlic
for charity?
That was a very unprofessional of you to barf on the show.
I tried to mute my microphone, but it didn't. It wasn't. I wasn't fast enough.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
he
I'm
is
right.
Now.
TT, go night night.
Don't worry about it.
We're all gonna drink Ecto coolers with vodka.
So he's, I mean, for charity, right?
It's for charity.
I mean, what is he doing for charity, though?
He's eating hot wings.
He's going to eat hot wings, Travis.
Like, really
and
hot.
See, what happens is...
you know, listen. You don't eat hot wings for charity. You just eat hot wings, right?
Oh, he better not do those.
He's going to do it
wings
on YouTube. So he sends out tweets with the hashtag Potter and Family. You know, your favorite hashtag, Potter and Family.
Oh, God.
The
reason we created hashtag Podern Warfare was to combat Podern Family.
But they just made it theirs too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm not betraying anyone's trust because he did tweet this out publicly.
He did delete it though, by the way.
But it was out there, so you know. A fella direct messaged him on the Twitter because he used the hashtag Podern Family, And he had some very choice words for his use of the hashtag. Would you like me to read his response to this guy who's doing a charity thing? And granted, Travis, I'm not naive to think that he isn't a little bit doing this to raise awareness of his show. Of course he is. But he's also raising money for hungry kids and sick kids and all kinds of kids. Travis, he's raising money for so many kids.
Good for him.
So this is the response that he got on Twitter from the Epic Film Guys. That's a podcast.
Wait, what? The Epic Film Guys?
The Epic Film Guys. Yeah, they do a podcast, Travis. I bet they probably watch like Under Siege and then talk about it, right?
They only talk about epic films. Yep, got
it. By the way, before we go, this show might go a little long because I watched the latest Bourne movie. I want to talk about that too. But this is the response that he got. You know, because we talk about films too. We just talked to Marty Langford, the director of Doomed. The Untold Story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four, out on video on demand October 11th. Hey, good to see you around the Slack chat again. I noticed that you had posted looking for some love for a charity event you're putting together, which is great. I have noticed, however, as have others, that you don't follow most of us on Twitter, myself included. Don't share other shows, and scarcely use the Podern Family hashtag. The whole idea behind hashtag Podern Family is so community where we help one another grow. So I'm sorry to say I won't be sharing your tweet. Much luck to you on the event. Sounds like a good cause.
I recognize that it's an amazing cause, and it's for charity.
Hey, good for you, man.
But listen up. You don't follow enough of us or retweet enough of my friends to let me retweet you.
And here's the thing. If he says he doesn't follow any of us, it's not my problem, fuck your charity, that's fine. If he says it to his friends, hey, this guy doesn't even follow any of us, so he's not even part of our little gang, so fuck him and his charity. That's fine. I say fuck people and their charities every day, Travis.
Yeah, of course you do.
Every day I go through my Twitter feed and I see people and say fuck you to them.
Yep, and you move on.
And if I see somebody that I'm following that I think sucks, I unfollow them. Or mute them, which was the case with Radio Vegas Rocks this week.
I thought this was...
No, I unfollowed him. I didn't mute him, but I mute plenty of people. I mute people all the time. I don't block because I feel like I'd be missing something if I blocked somebody. Like, what if
I block every 3 days, and it's usually people who say, come look at my wide open vag.
I mean, I'll look at your... vag, but I have a pretty good feeling I'm going to have to pay for it, right? And there's plenty of vages that are free to look at. I don't need to look at that one. But it's not the point. The point is, he sent a lengthy reply explaining why he's not going to retweet the link.
As opposed to just being like, hey, there's that guy using my hashtag. Nah.
Travis, can you imagine if we direct messages every asshole that co-opted one of our amazing hashtags?
Hashtag. I would not have time.
But we don't.
For anything else.
We ask our listeners to. We ask them to send hashtag Podern Warfare at Podern Warfare pictures of groundhogs.
And I wish more
it
people.
It doesn't would. Mean anything, guys. Just do it anyway. Because why the fuck not? But what I'm telling you is, if you see a charity, don't tell that charity to go fuck themselves. Just don't
because
donate to the
charity.
Because
they don't use the proper hashtag or follow the right people.
Travis,
it's a fucking charity.
I don't give change to the Ronald McDonald House. I see that thing every time I go to McDonald's, which is now the fourth or fifth time I've mentioned fucking McDonald's in this show.
Once out of every 17 times, I maybe leave pennies for the people. Otherwise, you know what I do? I take those pennies and I put them in my fucking change jar.
Guys, when you go through the McDonald's drive-thru, I want you to look that picture of that child on the Ronald McDonald House bin, I want you to give him the finger. I want you to just flip off that kid. I want you to say, fuck you, Ronald McDonald House.
And take a picture of you flipping off that Ronald McDonald House bin and tag us in that on Twitter.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Shut the fuck up, Napier.
Napier, I saw the most recent Jason Bourne movie. I'm not going to make a whole thing about it, but I saw it. And then let me tell you something. The Jason Bourne movies, I'm done with them.
You weren't done after the first one?
The first one was pretty good. With
Jason Bourne movies when Jason Bourne wasn't in the fucking movie.
Travis, I want you to watch a Jason Bourne movie and just count how many times people make a big deal about Jason Bourne calling or that somebody interacted with Jason Bourne. That's all the movie is. It's people freaking out that Jason Bourne is involved. They're like, holy shit! It's fucking Jason Bourne! He does lots of shit! And then everybody runs around like a fancy CSI-looking office, and they don't know what to do because Jason Bourne's on the phone. And like, oh my God, Jason Bourne's on the phone! Jason Bourne? I thought he was dead! He's not dead! It's Jason Bourne! He's on the phone! We have a picture of him! He's alive!
Well, ever since the first one where he was trying to figure out who he was and kind of figured it out.
Yeah, he's Jason Bourne.
The third one, they gave him a name, right? It was like Sam Michaels or something. And he's like, and then he was happy. He was like, oh, all right. I know who I am again. And then it was over. And then they made a movie, a Bourne movie, without Jason Bourne. It had fucking Hawkeye in it. And everybody was like, hey, remember that Jason Bourne? Well,
Was that what that whole movie was about? They're like, guys, this guy was from the same thing that Jason Bourne was in. Holy shit! Jason Bourne!
That's exactly what it was! The whole fucking movie was everybody shouting Jason Bourne while they're like, fuck! Hawkeye's just like Jason Bourne!
This guy, you know what he reminds me of, Travis? You know what? This Hawkeye guy kind of reminds me of Jason Bourne.
You should just overdub the word Satan over Jason Bourne.
Shit! Hawkeye's like Jason Bourne! We gotta get him.
Napier, you know how badass Jason Bourne is, right?
Apparently I don't.
Like him. This other guy is a lot like Jason Bourne.
That's
just
creepy.
To put things into perspective. I mean, like, if you want to know how badass this guy is, he's a lot like Jason Bourne.
Well, if Jason Bourne was a 10, Hawkeye's a 9.5. So we gotta get him. We gotta get him. So I know he was just cooking rabbits in the fucking Appalachian Hills. But that's not going to stand here. We got to get all of our teams together and get Hawkeye.
So what was the name of that podcast, Travis? The podcast that...
Passersby?
No, the one that told passersby to go fuck themselves.
Oh, fuck those guys. I don't even want to say their name.
The Epic Film Guys.
Epic Film Guys. You know what you should do? All of our listeners, you should...
Send Epic Film Guys a groundhog.
Hashtag Modern Warfare.
Remember when this was a vegetarian podcast and we didn't have no beef?
Napier, you... Come on. That's bullshit. What that guy did was bullshit.
Yeah, he's...
So fuck him. Just say it, Napier. Please, for the love of God, take a goddamn stance for once. And just say, fuck that guy.
You know what?
Please. No, Travis, let him say it.
Napier, come on.
Okay, I want everybody to hashtag, hey, that's our word.
Napier.
Yeah.
Say, fuck you, Epic Film Guys.
I don't like saying that.
Why?
It's mean.
Why?
Because I don't know them.
Did you hear the thing I read? It's pretty heinous, right?
Well,
it's
I don't gross. Know anything about it.
It's gross. Just say it's gross. Can you at least say it's gross?
Well, you should.
Can you take a... Napier, take a solid stand on something.
Anything at all, ever.
Well, I don't know these people, so why should
no,
I be angry?
No, we're past that now, Napier. I want you to definitively say something.
You can't keep pleading ignorance about how you...
I want you to say, like a strong opinion you have on anything.
What's that, Mike? I don't wanna. What? No, you do it, Beef. You're beefing.
I have no strong opinions about anything.
Anything?
Ever.
Not one thing.
The tanks is bullshit. I got to level 22 when it wouldn't let me go unless I paid extra money.
Did you have to pay extra money to get to?
Did you have to pay?
Are you
extra
playing? Money? Can you say like a video game you like?
Say a video game.
I got the new World of Warcraft expansion.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Did you like the movie?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, Christ.
I did not hear good things about the movie.
Is that why you didn't go to see it?
Yeah, I really want to just watch it at home.
Come on, Napier, you fucking sheep.
I mean, I want you to think like if you were a graffiti artist. Like a graffiti artist that couldn't draw, so all you really could do was write things on walls.
Like
you
Hanks?
Wouldn't write... The World of Warcraft expansion was okay.
Well, the last one kind of
sucked.
That's
not something that you're passionate about, Nathan.
It'd be fucking amazing. As if the graffiti artist just told you about what he was indifferent about. Like, Pokemon Go, I don't know, 3 stars or something.
Yeah, just write like 3-star reviews for things.
Fargo season 2. 3 stars.
Hey, you know how Scarlett Johansson's taking the role of an Asian woman in that Ghost in the Shell movie? Really couldn't care less.
Ghost in the Shell, not a fan, didn't hate it.
You know Matt Damon's playing a movie where he's in China?
Yeah.
And he's the only white guy?
Doesn't bother you that much?
No, don't care.
Don't care.
Don't give a shit.
You only tag shit that you don't give a fuck about.
Guys, see, this is the thing, though, Travis. I remember the fiery days of Napier. When Napier, you could come in here, like, shot out of a cannon, and he would have strong opinions on everything. And now
he's married, man. That's a long time. That's a long time ago.
He doesn't have a strong opinion about anything.
Mike, let me ask
like,
you a question.
Nothing.
No, but when are you going to get married?
Yeah,
me?
When are you getting married? You.
I don't know. Eventually, sure.
How long have you lived with your lady friend?
10, 12 years.
Oh, you know you're common law married by now.
Yet? Did she give you an ultimatum yet about, dude, you gotta fucking marry me or
we're
get the
engaged,
fuck out of here.
Travis.
How long you been engaged?
8 years?
We're just waiting for the right time.
Travis, this isn't about me. It's Napier's lack of commitment to things.
Yeah, Napier's lack of commitment. We've been engaged for 8 years.
Both of our names are on the mortgage, Travis.
Well, you know what? I bought a house with my wife before I married her, too. And it took 5 years before I married her.
Yeah, I think that's about how long we've lived in this house.
5 is a good amount of years.
Right. We lived in an apartment for another 3 or 4 before that.
You should shit or get off the pot.
No, I mean, I've shit.
Oh, did you stay on the pot?
Yeah, I mean, I've shit. I mean, like, yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Still shitting?
Yeah.
Just lady
I mean,
just
like,
comes
you know,
around
we,
every
we
so
We sleep
often.
In the same bed and stuff, you know.
She oh, yeah, you got that cat together.
She touches my wiener and stuff. We've shit.
What do you think? You're going to get married? She's going to stop touching your wiener?
No, we touch each other's wieners like we do it all the time.
No, that is a true fact. Once you get married, about 2, 3, 4, 10
Travis,
years later, she will stop touching your wiener.
Travis, give me 3 strong opinions you have about anything.
I like Batman and Superman very much. I just watched the Ultimate Cut today, and I thought it was fucking amazing. I thought all of the stuff they added into the movie, the half hour, I thought if anybody had any doubters...
I wanted more of like a abbreviated thing just to make a point.
I wanted to know why the fuck Batman just does a 180 when Superman tells him his mom's fucking name. Like, you just wanted to kill this dude.
Napier.
Gonna put a spear into
Napier.
His face.
Say it sucked. Say Batman versus Superman sucked. Say it.
It didn't suck.
I'm trying to give you a condensed version. Yeah. Okay. Love Batman, Superman. Love the clone saga of the Spider-Man clone deal from the early 90s. And also, I'm a big fan of Blue Moon ice cream. Those are my 3 things that I'm very passionate about.
It didn't suck, Napier?
It had parts that sucked.
You just thought it was okay?
I like the part where Wonder Woman got the shit knocked out of her by that big, beastly gorilla thing.
Napier, what would you say...
Fuck, she's just like, I'll swing my sword at you.
Okay, you didn't hate Batman vs. Superman.
No.
What would you say is your favorite movie?
Army of Darkness.
It's your favorite movie?
Yeah.
I'd say that's a strong stance on something.
Mike, what's your favorite?
Saying, above all other movies, that is his favorite movie.
Is that a bad opinion?
No, I'm just glad that you committed to something.
How can you not commit to Army of Darkness? It's a good movie.
Good, good. Really, I'm proud of you, Napier.
Thank you.
I feel like we've made big strides.
But we haven't.
We have.
Yeah, but we haven't.
So go ahead and say what your thought is on the message that the Epic Film Guys sent to Passersby Podcast.
I think it's unnecessary.
Did you feel it was in poor taste?
I don't know if it was in poor taste. I don't know what the charity's for.
Of course you wouldn't.
What's the charity for?
It's for sick kids.
Okay.
Kids. Don't even question it. It's just for sick kids.
God. Or hungry kids.
I guess it doesn't really matter what it's for.
I think it might have been hungry kids. It was something about sack lunches or something, Travis. I don't think the kids are sick. I think they're just hungry.
I want to say really quick, though. I know you're having a charity for kids who you were trying to feed or give something fun to do. But guess what? You don't use our hashtag enough. You don't follow enough of us. We're just not going to be able to. We're just going to go ahead and not retweet that podcast. Or that.
You send those motherfuckers groundhogs. You do it. You keep a picture of a groundhog on your phone.
Don't stop.
And you wait for us to tell you who to send it to.
I think one of those kind of tweets is something that you write out, but you don't actually send it.
Oh, yeah, you're right, but they did.
Keep that groundhog on your goddamn phone, and you just wait.
It's Groundhog Armageddon!
We're sending groundhogs to people!
What are the groundhogs?
Hashtag pod is dead!
Motherfucker!
Travis. Is there anything else you want to tell people before we go?
Doomed, the untold story of Fantastic Four.
On video on demand, October 11th.
Well, that's my mama. Just give me something to believe in. Every day when I speak to the moon. Pale as a ghost in the afternoon. Tragedy has a hold on my mind. I can see the light between the lines. And I say, you've got to listen. I'm a songbird with a brand new track. You underestimate. Ooh,
you to know it's over. Well, bye.
Everybody, it's Napier. You should listen to us Mondays at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You should go to wfodix.com for back episodes. You should interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or on facebook.com/WFODix. Email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Call live or leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263. That is 487-HAND. Our Patreons include Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, and Jody B. Send Bite feet pics. Show him your delicious tootsies. Rub butter up against him and make him all slimy. Don't shave your foot hairs, he likes them. Leave a little bit of stubble for that nice surprise. If you really want to get him interested, rub a nice uncooked hot dog in between them. Use your toes like cleavage. Make sure to make it a sloppy sounding video.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to WFODix.com and find it under the Extras tab. In turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us, right?
Not people outside of our groups that don't retweet us enough. Hold on, wait. They didn't mention us on their last Periscope.
Just so you know, I checked, and you don't even use this hashtag that much.
No, dude. That's my friend's word for my friends to talk about each other's friends. You're not a friend enough to use that word.
You're not even part of our special friend club.
Exactly. He's like, no boys allowed. By the way, I hope your hungry kids find some sandwiches. Good luck.
Travis, why is Napier doing all of this content now? Why do you wait until the microphones are off to talk about things?